I bring you greetings from your siblings at Christ Episcopal Church, from our rector, the Reverend Shelley Fayette, and our curate, the Reverend Chris McPeak. I'm thankful for the opportunity, and I am definitely extending my thanks to Dean Thomason for the opportunity to come home a little bit. So it was a high school biology class, and an expert in snakes had come from the reptile house of the Cleveland Zoo. He had come to teach the class a little bit about the lives of snakes. As he drew near the end of his presentation, he had shown a constrictor and was now about to put the constrictor back into the sack in order to be transported back to his truck. He asked the student to step up and hold the sack open while he fed the snake into the bag. He was making a few concluding remarks when suddenly there was a gasp, and one of the students screamed, and people were pointing to the bag because the snake had found a hole and had poked its head through and was wrapping itself around the lower leg of the student who was holding the bag. The expert calmly, quickly, deftly gathered the snake back into his arms, put it in a holding container. The student sat down, panic-stricken, and began to cry. I was that student. You'll be glad to know that I had no particular permanent damage from that, nor did my ideas or feelings towards snakes change very much. But it's a snake story. And I suspect there's a few of us here who could probably unroll a little snake story of our own. There's something about snake stories. They both make us a little queasy and a little scared and yet a little excited. We've got a snake story in today's reading from the Hebrew Scriptures, and maybe it brings up all of those feelings for us. It's a story in which God's people are losing patience with God's plan on preparing them for how they will enter the land of promise. They have begun to move from seeing the providential great food of the manna and begun to see it as detestable. And you can almost see the air being poisoned by their bitterness. You can almost feel the ground shaking and rumbling underneath them with their complaints and their foot stomping, so that the earth itself seems disturbed. Perhaps it's no surprise then that there are snakes stirred up, maybe doing no more than responding to what was happening, maybe themselves afraid, wanting to defend, and doing what they do. However you read this story, one of the themes that is here is that human behavior has consequences. But I will give my Israelite siblings this. They know where to go when the chips are down. They call on God. They aren't afraid to come back and say, uh-oh, wait a minute, wrong turn. God, you are our God. You are the one that brought us out of Egypt, and we've lost sight of that, but we hear and now return, and we want help. I draw your attention to two things that God does in response. First, God provides a way of healing. God hears and God responds. God responds out of the love that God has for the people whom he has created, recreated in the crossing of the Red Sea, and is now creating and molding once more in the desert experience. God responds and sends healing. Yet, the snakes don't go away. I have to admit, if you asked me to solve this problem, it would have been easy. Get rid of the snakes, everybody lives happily ever after. But no, the consequences of human action remain. And God speaks healing and brings a sign of healing. The second thing I'd like you to notice about this healing is how strangely it is affected. The people are having issues. They're hurt, they're poisoned, they're sick, they're dying. And Moses instructs them to do something that is not typical for them. He doesn't say, okay, everybody, let's go to the tent of meeting where we always go in order to hear God speak. He doesn't say, oh, God says, look upon the Ark of the Covenant, the traditional sign of God's presence with God's people. Instead, he makes something unusual. I would go so far as to call it weird. A statue of a snake? The likeness of the very thing that's hurting the people? And yet, as the people look to it, there's healing? That's a strange way to go about healing. A strange way for God to bring healing. And yet, God did. Then along comes Jesus. I suspect Jesus likes a good snake story too, because he can't resist referring to this one. As the Son of Man must be lifted up in the very way that Moses lifted up the serpent in the desert. Jesus actually is seeing his own life and ministry, his own death and resurrection, as being somehow mirrored in this lifting up of a serpent on a pole. And there are some striking similarities. First off, Jesus is literally lifted up. In his life and ministry, he is lifted up, and he becomes a well-known figure, exalted in the eyes of many. But yet, though he is exalted, he is a famous person with no home, but instead wanders the land as an itinerant preacher. He is lifted up as someone that people should come to. And yet, when he comes to his hometown, he's run out of town on a rail, because they are accusing him of being a physician who cannot heal himself. As an aside, I hope you're not thinking about running me out of town on a rail for coming home. And yet again, there is a strangeness in this one who is God's great sign of healing. He is lifted up as he comes in triumph to the capital city. But he's lifted up by straddling a beast of burden. Well, finally, he must be headed toward the ultimate lifting up, right? The ultimate lifting up, where he's finally acknowledged as the true Messiah. Well, he gets lifted up upon a cross, where he, the sign of God's healing, is gasping out his last breaths of life. This is a strange way that God provides healing. And yet, maybe not so strange. Instead of standing at a distance and waving the divine hand, God comes among us, taking on our flesh and blood, not just to observe our pain from a distance, but to come and be with us in the midst of it. The crucified Christ is the sign that God is that much in love with us, that God comes to inhabit even our very pain, to be with us in the most painful of places, to tell us
that this is where love lives. He comes into the midst of our pain, and Lord knows we have plenty of pain. In that wilderness, a small group of people bore the consequence of their actions. We are looking at an entire world bearing the consequences of our actions. It is true. Many of us bear wounds which have been inflicted upon us by others. The wounds of abuse, the wounds of assault, the wounds of relationships that have torn us and exploited us. And we also are aware too acutely of the times where we have been the ones who have wounded, where we have hurt others with our words and with our deeds. And even more than that, we see that there is not just an individual dynamic here, but a cultural, a collective, a communal piece as well. We look at the history of our species and we see a history of exploitation. We see a history of oppression. We see a history of building the systems that actually make worse the great evils of poverty, that delight in war and delight in destruction, creating systems of pain that persist right to our very day. We see that pain in some of the large, huge issues, such as systemic racism and injustice of every kind. And if that weren't enough, we now become more aware of what our conduct and behavior is doing to the very earth itself. As we see the ravages of global warming, as we begin to experience more and more extreme weather episodes, as we see the shrinking of arable land and water crises in parts of our own globe where once before water was plentiful. It's enough to kind of make you want to live in a permanent penitence. It's enough to make you want to just say, oh, you know, maybe the world would just be better off if human beings were gone. Maybe the world would just be better off if humankind had never been here. And yet, God continues to hold up the ultimate sign of healing, Jesus himself. The one who has come to be with us in our healing and whose love can actually light the way and open our hearts to the very possibility of healing on a personal level, healing on a societal level, perhaps even healing on a global level. Is this pie in the sky? Just a pious hope from someone wearing a collar? I point you to Jesus of Nazareth. I point you to the one who bore it all the way to death. And when people thought, that's it, we finally killed whatever ideas he had, we have finally destroyed whatever community he was building. No, resurrection said no, the community is not dead. Resurrection said no, God's last word is not one of hopelessness. Humanity's last word is not one of hopelessness. Jesus Christ, the ultimate sign of life, keeps popping up, keeps rising, keeps feeding us with new life. I think this is an amazing moment in the life of this community, because right now, this community is experiencing a new awakening of resurrection. I look at a nave right now that has people in it, a good number of people in it. And I know that there are those who are watching who are saying, I'm looking forward to the time when I can be in the nave with my cathedral community. It's coming, and it is part of the resurrection that has already taken place and will take you in places I don't know where it might take you. For the one who is the sign of healing also lives in us and together in us. That means that as this place comes and regathers, you will once again have the joy of lifting up that ultimate sign face to face. As great as that is, that's just a little part of our work. For the challenge of lifting up the ultimate sign is what happens outside these doors. Just as Moses lifted up the serpent in the middle of the pain, we're called to do that as well. To find ways to lift up the ultimate sign of God's healing in a world that is hurting. Not because we've got it all together. Lord knows we don't have it all together. But we lift up the sign of healing as those who have tasted it for ourselves. We lift it up to be shared. Not because we've got all the answers, but because we've tasted a little healing and we want it for the world. I close with a story of where healing might pop up in strange ways and where God might already be working. An RN was one of the nurses who worked in one of the first COVID clinics to hand out the vaccine in this area. She didn't know what to expect the first day that she walked into the vaccine clinic. She expected to find people deeply depressed. She expected to find people in deep sadness and in deep mourning. And she did find that. However, what she noticed was that as people received their vaccines, that very one little act began to change people's attitudes toward what will happen in their future. One woman, on receiving her first shot, got up from the seat and yelled out, "Hallelujah!" And in that moment, the RN said she realized that she was standing not just in a clinic, but in a place where God was healing. She recognized that somehow or other, the sign of healing was being lifted up even in places where we don't usually look for it. Beloved, it is our call to lift up that sign of healing. But even as you do, I would remind you of one thing. As we are lifting up Jesus is the sign of healing, Jesus is actually lifting us up. That's what this will be all about.